Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia, alleluia. Our season of Easter comes to an end, but the blessings and the gifts of Easter do not. And what a gift-giving Lord you have. Have you stopped lately and pinched yourself for all the gifts he has given you? Have you paused to consider the blessing he has showered upon you and how blessed you are above all people in history to receive such blessing? In our Old Testament reading, he announces to us that he is going to gather us out of the world to be his own pure, holy people. That is, the people who rule with him forever, the people who have nothing between them and God, the people who are utterly free of the powers of idols, the kinds of idols you don't even imagine, but that our God knows far too well. The kinds of idols of power, of honor, of being right, of wealth and strength. The kind of idols that hound us daily. From those he has cleansed us, not by demanding it, but by doing it. By giving his son to you, by giving his son for you, by shedding that son's blood. That son doing it all willingly, obediently, happily, kindly, joyfully, for the joy set before him, enduring the cross and enduring its shame. Have you pinched yourself lately for how blessed you really are? But of course, there will be sin. And so, our Lord provides for that as well. He has dealt with sin. He has set it aside. He has canceled its power on your future. You have been enrolled and numbered among the saints who will rule with him. But still we live in the flesh. Still we live in the life of this world. Still there will be sin. And so he sends St. Peter to us today to say, love one another earnestly, for love covers a multitude of sins. Notice he does not say love solves all the sins. He does not say love is going to dig in there and figure out who was right and who was wrong and reconcile all the sinners perfectly by dealing with all the sins and having a just judgment on everything. That's how the world works. The world wants to parse out blame. The world wants to parse out dominion. The world wants to parse out all the burdens of guilt. But St. Peter says love covers like custard on ice cream, like chocolate on cake. Love covers a multitude of sins. And he says to love one another earnestly because the end is near. The end is near. Sin won't last forever. So in the meantime, love, and let love cover it up. Not in a hiding sort of way, but as ointment covers a wound. God solved our problem of sin by just cleansing it. And now he asks you to deal with your fellow sinners by loving them. Have you pinched yourself for how good this God is, how contrary to the world? And he's found you, and he's numbered you among the saints to be part of this grand, grand work of love and grace and redemption. How can we bear such things? How could we ever carry those things without our hearts bursting, especially when we see how quickly and frequently we fail? Well, of course, because he's a gift-giving Lord, he sends a helper, the Holy Spirit. And he not only sends the Holy Spirit, but he has sent witnesses. In today's gospel reading, Jesus says the following to his apostles: "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." In those two sentences, you learn almost everything you need to know about the Holy Spirit and the apostles, and about being this church that God has gathered out of the world to be his own holy, cleansed possession. First, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. The truth is what the Holy Spirit cares about, and the truth is what the Spirit delivers. Not the truths that the world cares about, but the truth that God cares about. For the Father loves his Son. The Father has revealed his Son to be the way, the truth, and the life. And therefore, the truth that the Holy Spirit delivers, who is the foundation of our cleansing, the foundation of our love, is Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. He is what God delivers right into your mouths, right into your ears, right into your hearts. People sometimes suspect that there must be more to the Holy Spirit than truth. There must be more to the Holy Spirit than just faith in Jesus. But if we think that way, it's usually because Jesus has become too small for us. It's because Jesus has become the one whom we consult when we have a particular problem we can't handle. And so we bring him our deaths, we bring him our grief, hopefully we bring him our guilt. We bring him whatever particular trouble is troubling us at the time, but Jesus is bigger than that. He surely receives all of that joyfully, bearing it for your sake out of love, because love covers a multitude of sins, but he is also much, much more. In the book of Colossians, we are told, he is the one in whom all things hold together. So if things feel as though they're coming apart, where is Jesus? Maybe he's breaking apart what needs to be broken apart, but in him all things hold together. Only in him do we understand the sun that shines on our face or the ground beneath our feet. Only in him do we understand the form and curviness of our own flesh, the dynamics of our mind and the movements of our souls. Only in him do we even understand the curious neuroses of fashion and food. He is the meaning of our past. He is the purpose of our presence. He is the destiny of our future. Jesus isn't only the truth in religion. Jesus is the truth of everything. And so why would we expect anything more from the Spirit of truth than Jesus? To be sure, we could speak of the peculiar gifts of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, kindness, self-control, humility. He does not give us those gifts, those virtues, independently of Jesus, but in and through Jesus, because it is in Jesus that we find love, joy, peace, humility, kindness, and self-control in their purest, richest, sweetest forms. You might lose everything in the world. You might be a pauper. You might lose your health. You might lose your friends, but if you have the love, joy, peace, humility, kindness, and self-control of the Spirit, you have everything, because those things come to us from the one who is everything and in whom everything holds together, Jesus Christ. In him, the church is like a loaf of bread that at one and the same time is always being mixed, is always rising, is always baking, and is always being eaten. Because we are always being mixed with Jesus, we are always being raised with Jesus, we are always being united with Jesus in the heat of his love, and we are always being given to the world as a feast. Likewise, we could also speak of the Spirit's names. He is called Helper and Advocate, Light and Lord, the sweetness of heaven, the oil of gladness, and the balm of the soul. You could call him so many more wonderful things. But how does the Spirit help us? By keeping us with Jesus. For what does he advocate? Our faith in Jesus. He is the light of the world because he shines on us the light of Christ. And he is sweetness because he satisfies us with the honeyed bread of our Lord's flesh. He is oil and balm because he makes us Christians, a word that means little Christ. And Christ means anointed. And so he has anointed Christ, and now he anoints you with Christ, that oil of gladness. So to think that there is more to the Spirit than this beautiful ministry of bearing witness to Jesus is really to miss the centrality and totality, the beauty and strength, the everythingness of Jesus himself. It's like saying, I want to learn all about fire, but I don't want to look at light or heat. How can you study fire and not look at light and heat? How can you have the Spirit and not have Jesus? To try to understand the Spirit apart from Jesus is to miss the Spirit completely. And if that's what we know about the Spirit, then that's what we also know about the apostles, the foundation of this church that God has gathered out of the world to receive all of his gifts and all of his blessing, even if we lose everything else in the world. He says they will bear witness as the Spirit bears witnesses. They are going to be like little spirits because they also will be little witnesses, he says. And again, people often want to know more about the apostles than we know. What did they look like? What did they eat? Would we really enjoy hanging out with them? But God only gives us what we need in the Spirit from them, their witness. Yes, we can say a few things. Peter was brash. John was youthfully devoted. Andrew was pure. Thomas tended to doubt the best and anticipate the worst. But God just gives us that so that we know they're human like us. What he really gives us through them is the Spirit, because they saw Jesus from the beginning. As St. John writes at the beginning of his first letter, that which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. They didn't proclaim what Jesus meant to them. In our present day and age, people speak of their own truths. What does it mean to you? Sometimes the apostles would reflect briefly on that question. But mostly they looked at the objective, historical gifts and words of Jesus, because they know that those things are the foundation of our cleanliness and our love. And so God gives us the apostles in the Spirit. And we confess that we are the apostolic church, not because we do the same things as the apostles did, but because their witness is our foundation. We are a witness-bearing church, and the witness we bear isn't simply our own witness ever. It is their witness, the witness of the apostles. Just think how often you repeat what other people tell you, and you never saw it. You don't know what happened in other countries or in other houses or in other people's heads. But they tell you, and you repeat it. Well, how much more should we hear and repeat what the apostles have said? Every word of truth. Because those words are filled with the Spirit, which means they are filled with Christ. All this comes to you from the Father, who is making witnesses out of you, and be careful. You know what the word for witness is in the Greek, yes? Martyr. God is making witnesses out of you. God is making martyrs out of you. Because God is going to make you people who see him as the apostles saw him. One day you will see him no longer veiled in bread, and you will hear him no longer veiled in scripture, and you will touch him. You will even smell him, sweeter than incense. And on the day that you see him, the world will finally see you, no longer veiled by suffering and sin, but as you really are, the people gathered out of the world to wear Christ, hear Christ, eat, drink, and be little Christs, to the glory of the name of God. Easter is almost over, but Easter goes on forever. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia, alleluia.